Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit HaDashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are currently in our series called The Great Doctrines of the Bible. And we are under that general heading, we are studying the doctrine of Satan and demonology. Satan is clearly spoken of as a real, literal person in the Scriptures. He is the originator of sin, evil, and rebellion against God. In his rebellion, we are told, and sometime in the past before the creation, he led a third of the angels with him in this rebellion against God. They became demons. And we are talking primarily about Satan first, and then once we finish our biblical sketch and study of him, we will then focus our attention on the fallen angels who are in league with them, which the Bible calls demons. We have looked at the names of Satan, and that's where we're at right now. These names, according to the Hebrew mindset, denote a characteristic quality of one's personality. And we've looked at the various names used for Lucifer. We looked at Satan, the devil, the serpent. And I believe we left off with this title for our great adversary, Satan. Another term used for Satan is the dragon. The dragon. A dragon is typically pictured as a beast of great ferocity and rage. And really, this is what motivates Satan, his insane rage and anger against the Most High. He is called the dragon throughout the Scriptures. This imagery bespeaks of the devil's vicious, beastly nature and his ferocious rage against God and all that God loves. That namely would be mankind in general and the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. He is called the dragon. This is a repeated name used for Satan, particularly in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapters 12, 13, and Revelation chapters 12, 13, 16, and 20, Satan is called the dragon. And this is in reference to his end time ferocity against Israel and his attempt to destroy them and at the same time prevent and oppose the Lord Jesus Christ from returning to this earth. In Revelation 12:3, Satan is depicted or is called the great fiery red dragon. And it says here, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. This is in reference to the original rebellion of Lucifer, which resulted in one third of the angelic hosts joining his rebellion, and then in turn they became demons. In chapter 12, Satan's opposition to God's Messiah and his people Israel is metaphorically described and portrayed. 13 times in the book of Revelation, Satan is called the dragon. 13 times in this book. Why a red dragon? Red speaks of bloodshed. And what did Jesus call Satan? He calls him a murderer in the Gospel of John. So Satan is responsible for much bloodshed that has gone on throughout the history of humanity. His art is war, destruction, and murder, whether a murder of one person or the unjust mass murder of many. He is behind it as the bloody, ferocious being that he is, accurately cast with the metaphor of the fiery red dragon. Satan is also called Beelzebub in the scriptures. This term means prince of devils. It's derived from the Canaanite god, the negative Canaanite god, who was considered to be lord of the flies or god of the dunghill. 2 Kings 1:2. Let's go there. And I believe the term here, 2 Kings 1:2. And we'll find the word Beelzebub there. Talks about here, about King Azariah. And he was injured, and he sent his messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether he would recover from this accident. And the Lord sent his prophet Elijah to rebuke Azariah for doing this, because he is completely ignoring the fact that the God of Israel is there. But Beelzebub meant Lord of the Flies. He was the Canaanite god of the underworld. He was considered the god of the dunghill. And it's interesting that Satan is ruler over the demons. And in Scripture, the demons are called unclean spirits. So this title, Beelzebub, for Lord of the Flies or God of the Dunghill, because flies tend to congregate around excrement, this is in keeping with the fact that Satan is ruler over the demons, who are called in Scripture unclean spirits. Jesus also uses this term for Satan when the Pharisees accused him of casting out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. Matthew 10:25, Matthew 12:24-27, Mark 3:22, and Luke 11:15-19. So Satan is the god of all that is morally unclean, or all that would defile. And the demons who are unclean, that means they fell from their holy estate, and in their rebellion against God became unholy, therefore unclean. He rules over them as Beelzebub. The connection is obvious here. Satan is also called the god of this age. The god of this age. And we talked about this before. He is the god of this world, the prince of this world, as Jesus called him in the Gospel of John, simply because Adam forfeited his right of rulership over the world to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And then Satan became the ruler of this age, the god of this world. The god of this age is found for Satan in Luke 4:6, 1 John 5:13, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Galatians 1:4, and let me see here. I lost my place. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let's look at the one in 1 John 5:19 about among these scripture passages calling Satan the god of this age. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God. This is John writing to the believers. We know we are of God, and the whole world lies under the wicked one. Some translations say under the sway of the wicked one. Here we see that the evil world system is under the rulership and the domain of the devil. And so we need to be careful how we interact with those unsaved people who adhere to the fallen world system, of which the invisible spiritual ruler is Satan. You either belong in the kingdom of God and you are a born-again member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are a spiritual child and follower of the devil. Many unsaved people don't realize this. They're totally in the dark about who the real master of this fallen world system is. Little do they know that it is Satan, the devil himself. Satan, the devil himself. He is the god of this world, or the god of this age. Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world system. John 12:31, John 14:30, John 16:11. Let's look at John 12:31. What did Jesus say about Satan here? And by the way, the temptation of Satan to Jesus to give him all the kingdoms of the world if but the Son of God worshiped Lucifer was a legitimate offer. If Satan truly were not the evil ruler of this age, the invisible spiritual evil ruler of this current age and fallen world systems, Jesus would have rebutted his claim to offer him the kingdoms of the world. Jesus affirmed that the temptation was real when he rejected it, thereby showing us that Adam indeed did forfeit his God-given rulership of the world to Satan when he ceded it to him in the garden and fell under his temptation. He then became the master. He then became the slave of the master tempter. And that's one of the reasons the Lord Jesus came, to liberate us from this bondage to sin and Satan, to free us from his cruel slavery. John 12:31. Jesus says here, now he's speaking in reference to his imminent death on the cross. He speaks of it as a judgment on the devil. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. So here we have a reference to our Lord's crucifixion, and that is tied in with the defeat of the devil by his being lifted up on the cross. And this marked Satan's defeat. This goes back to the prophecy of how the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And the cross made way for the resurrection. And the resurrection is God's victorious triumphing over death. And Satan is the one who holds the power of death, according to the book of Hebrews. Satan is considered the ruler of this world, but he has been defeated by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord's death and resurrection, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. Satan is also called the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. He has dominion over the earth and over the heavens that surround the earth, the prince of the power of the air. And it is no wonder that the major media outlets today subscribe, advocate, and promote anti-Christian philosophies and worldviews. Coincidence? No. Not when you factor in that Satan is the god of this world, manipulates the environment as the prince of the power of the air and rules over it to promote his self-centered, godless message. And the sad thing is, beloved, that most people, most secularists who don't believe in a God of any kind, or those who do believe in a God but not the God of the Bible, are unwitting pawns of Satan in promoting his philosophy, his ideas, and his deception. Most unsaved people do not know that they are under the dominion of Satan and are his spiritual children. And it's sad. But this is one of the things that the Lord says about Satan here. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Much of the media, whether by television, radio, even internet, all of these are transmitted through the air by way of wireless communication or by wire. Isn't it funny that most of the major media outlets that are conveyed to radios and televisions and computers often promote, more times than not obviously, a godless antichrist worldview? That's because Satan rules over this system as the prince of the power of the air. Another name for Satan is Lucifer. Lucifer. This word simply means light bearer, as we discovered in Isaiah 14, verse 12. Lucifer is the light bearer. Satan is Lucifer, the light bearer, the morning star. And remember, he comes to us as an angel of light, appearing to be benign, wholesome and good in appearance, yet his motives and his inward heart and character are evil. Satan is also called Belial, B-E-L-I-A-L. In the Old Testament, Eli's sons were called the sons of Belial. Another translation, sons or children of the devil, sons of the devil. Belial means worthless, perverse, and lawless. And the character of Satan is, first and foremost, lawless. He rebels against the authority of God, which is the heart of all lawlessness. As Satan is allowed to intensify his activity in these end times, lawlessness will concurrently increase as well, because he is the lawless one. Matthew 13:39 calls him the enemy. As the enemy, he sowed tares among the wheat. He comes oftentimes in the guise of the counterfeit. He will appear as in various ways. In the church, he will appear as the messenger and servant of Christ, or even claiming to be Christ himself. He is called the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people. He's called the wicked one, Matthew 13:19, Matthew 38:39. Again, that is in conjunction with the parable of the wheat and tares, the second of the eight parables in Matthew 13. 1 John 5:18 and 19. We saw also that he is called the wicked one there. Satan is also called the angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Let's read that. Paul says here of the devil, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we have Satan here masquerading as an angel of light. He is deceptively disguised as a messenger of God's truth. So if he does this, it is not surprising that those under him doing his bidding are also come in the guise of being genuine, yet they are counterfeit. Again, Satan comes as an angel of light along with his servants posing as ministers of the gospel, because if he and they were to come as they are, they would be exposed right then and there. So in his deceptive tactics, the devil will come promoting something and someone that looks like, sounds like the gospel and Jesus Christ. That's why we must test everything in the church by the word of God. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They do not have the Spirit of God. They are counterfeit. And this is Satan's chief work today, to counterfeit the work of God. We're going to see that in a little bit, how Satan is the master counterfeiter and the many ways he counterfeits or imitates God in deceiving people. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10. You see this particularly with Job when he appeared with the angels of God before the Lord's throne. He accused Job of serving God for ulterior motives of materialism, blessing, and selfishness. And you know the story. Satan was allowed to afflict and buffet Job, and proving to the whole world that Job believed in God, not for what God gave him or what he could get out of God, but because of who God is. In Zechariah 3, the devil accuses Israel in the person of the high priest, Joshua. And in fact, we'll go to that passage. Here we see Satan playing the role of the accuser of the brethren, Zechariah 3:1. We have the devil again accusing the people of Israel. We read here, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?'" So Satan was standing at the right hand of God, Joshua the high priest, representative of the Jewish nation of Israel, and he is accusing them of being unfit for God's blessing, acceptance, and protection. And God told Satan that he has chosen Jerusalem. God's favor rests upon Israel above any other nation from the world, and he will save them from disaster, imminent disaster, like a brand plucked from the fire. This claim that God makes for Jerusalem or Israel stretches from Zechariah's time to the end of time. And notice that it is based upon God's election of Israel, not because of Israel's worthiness or merit. And we read in Zechariah 3 that at the time Joshua was dressed in filthy garments. And that pictures the habitual sinfulness that brought defilement on the people, starting with the high priest. God says, in spite of their sinfulness, I have chosen them. So Israel's redemption and place in God's program is based upon His election and not their worthiness or merit. And the same holds true for us in the church. Though Satan should accuse us, and he has many things whereof to accuse you and I as believers of failing to follow the standard of the Lord Jesus has laid out for us, even though that's true, our acceptance with God does not rest upon our level of obedience. Not that that excuses us and then allows us to be lawless, not at all. But our acceptance with God is based upon the character and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He is also the Antichrist, the arch Antichrist. This simply means one who is opposed or against the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, according to 1 John 2:18 through 22 and chapter 4 verses 1 through 4. John the Apostle warns believers that the spirit of Antichrist is already here and the final Antichrist is yet to come. At some point in the tribulation period, well, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, Satan will possess and incarnate the Antichrist, the final Antichrist, of which the spirit of Antichrist is preparing the world, so that when the final Antichrist comes, much of the world will receive him as their Messiah, even though he is a false Messiah sent by Satan. Satan is also called the adversary in that he is an enemy of a God and opposes God. 1 Peter 5:8. Jesus called Satan, the devil, a murderer. From the beginning, he said in John 8:44. Remember there? He said, "You are of your," Jesus said to the religious leaders who were opposing him and denying his messiahship, he told them, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not abide in the truth. Isn't that interesting? All those who oppose the identity of who Jesus really is, God and Messiah, they are of the devil. Because to call that into question, to call Jesus' deity and messiahship into question, is to not only be a liar, but a murderer. John 8:44 casts Satan as the arch liar and murderer. Why is he called a murderer? Well, go back to the Garden of Eden. He knew that Adam and Eve, if they disobeyed God's commandment, would spiritually die, and later their physical bodies would succumb to death. He knowingly knew that and sought to kill them and create a separation between them and God, and he was successful. So he sought to murder Adam and Eve, our first parents, and succeeded in doing that in the end. And Jesus contrasts what he came to do with the murderous work of Satan when he said, "I have come to give you life and to give it more abundantly." Jesus is eternal life. Satan brings death. Satan is also called a sinner. He is called a sinner. 1 John 3:8. We'll have to hurry there because we're running out of time. 1 John 3:8. "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Yes, Satan is the one who brought death, destruction, and mayhem in God's created order when he rebelled against God, as it was revealed to us in God's Word from Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He is the originator of sin. The problem of evil lies with Satan and his rebellion against God and man following in the same footsteps. God has remedied that evil by sending us Jesus the Messiah. Well, we're out of time this time, but until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.